go there this morning. Recent weeks, we've noticed some of the similarity between the post-exilic period and our situation where we're in today. The people of God were in a lockdown of sorts. It was 70 years of captivity, and they were coming out of that. And there's a number of passages that tell us about that. We've looked at some of Ezra and the situation there. And there's also some post-exilic psalms. That's what we're looking at. We dealt with Psalm 85. That was a post-exilic psalm. This is another one, Psalm 126. It deals with that time after the captivity. And just begin by reading that here. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This psalm has a lot to do with joy and happiness. And it's an attitude that we should have as we are approaching the worship of God. These psalms here, you notice it says a song of degrees. Maybe you have a note there that says that. And those psalms all go together. They're also called the pilgrim psalms or songs of ascent. But these were psalms that were used in preparation for God's people coming to worship. And they were usually sung on the way to worship. And as they were ascending up to Jerusalem. Many of these psalms go together. I think Psalm 121, I think there's about 10 of them or so, 10, 11. But this is one of them. And it starts with remembering God's great works. The people of God were remembering what God had done for them. Verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. They had remembered what God had done here in experiencing the return from captivity. Now, God had told them about that many years before, and we could look at some of the prophecies of this return. One is Jeremiah 33. A famous verse that's one of the children's memory verse, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What was that about? What's the context there? Well, the context was actually God bringing his people back from captivity. What were the great and mighty things which thou knowest not? In Psalm 33, verse 4, the next verse says, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant, without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, The voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. So that's one of the prophecies. And imagine being in captivity in Babylon and hearing that and longing for it. Say, boy, I wish that I could experience that. God restoring His people back to Jerusalem and experiencing that joy and happiness of worshiping in the temple again. And then here in this psalm, it happened. It happened. The Lord returned again to captivity. And it says, we were like them that dream. We were like them that dream. In other words, it's like a dream come true. Up to this point, it had been just, you know, a prophecy. God says He's going to do this. We haven't heard about it. It's almost like a dream that it would happen like this. And then God allowed it to happen. He brought His people back. It was like a dream come true. Can think of a dream that you've had in your life. You know, what you always want to do. Maybe for some people it's going to Disney World or something like that. And I said, boy, I just always like to go to Disney World. And then one day you're finally able to go. And it's like a dream come true. Some people, just think about getting married, right? And you're up to this point in your life. You always dream of getting married. And then finally that day comes and you get married. And it's like a dream come true. And that was what it was like for God's people. When God brought them out of captivity, He remembered the great work that God had done. It was like a dream that had come true. And remember the attention that God received in that. Verse 2, Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord hath done great things for them. So when God did that, the nations around them, the Gentiles, noticed. Whoa, what's going on here? The Jews are coming back to the land, back to Jerusalem. And the attention turned to God. Even the heathen, the Gentiles, they were saying, the Lord has done great things for them. I mean, this has never happened before. You know, when the nation gets defeated and taken away captive, they don't usually come back again. They don't make a comeback. All right. When a nation declines and then they're broken up, you know, that's usually the end of that nation. You don't see a nation make a comeback. Some other nation takes over. But what happened in the captivity, Israel, the Jews, they were making a comeback. And the nations around them were saying, whoa, something's going on here. Their God, the Lord, has done great things for them. And that was true. The attention that God received here. And then the psalmist adds here, verse 3, The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The world can notice to a certain extent, but God's people can have a conviction about it. You know, the world notices, but it's God's people that can say, indeed, the Lord hath done great things for us. And then it adds a statement there, whereof we are glad. They're glad about it. God's people are glad about what God has done. The unsaved world may notice, but God's people really are glad. And this word, glad, is a word that's used often of spiritual rejoicing of the righteous. We find it in the Psalms, in other Psalms. For example, Psalm 16, where there's a connection to God's presence. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. And then Psalm 19, connection to God's Word. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And so this idea of a spiritual joy is what God's people experienced when they saw His work. We see it in connection with God's presence. God's Word causes that rejoicing of the heart as well. But remember that. Remember being overwhelmed with happiness. That's what God's people were experiencing here. We've heard a lot about all the states that are opening back up again. I forget how many there are now, but more and more are saying, we're open, and no more mask mandate, and we're just going back to normal. And that sounds really good. Think of the feeling, hopefully one day soon, when our state does that same thing, says we're normal now. And that would be a great feeling. There would be happiness, I'm sure. And as we read about this, the great works of God, there was that similar feeling that God's people had. So how do we have that gladness and joy? It starts with remembering what God has done. And then we find a connection to prayer. Verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. As we go back and look at how God brought His people out of captivity, remember that it was in phases. It wasn't all at once. And even that first return under Zerubbabel that we read about in Ezra, first six chapters of Ezra, they began to come out and rebuild the temple. But then you remember they had trouble. There was opposition. And the work stopped. And there was 10, 15 years where nothing was happening. And then there was this sense that, God needed to do something. There was a sense on the part of God's people that they needed something else from God. And so perhaps it's in that context that we read here this prayer, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. This is a prayer that recognizes the need for God to do something. We need to look to God alone for blessing and not to some other source. As we think about our own situation, we need to be reminded of that again and again, that the solution to our problems is not other people. It's not money. It's not the government. Ultimately, the solution to our problems is God intervening and God doing something. And that's what the psalmist recognizes here. He's coming to God and praying, turn us again. Asking God here for a restoration. That's the idea of this word for turn again. It's to restore, to go back. And in other words, I think you could picture it as a prayer for a total change in the situation. Turn us again. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Maybe they're thinking of people that are still back in Babylon and still under that captivity. And they're praying, Lord, completely change the situation. Is there a situation maybe where, you just wish for a total change? And maybe it's with a family or work or something like that. And that's the idea of this prayer here. Lord, work a total change in this situation. We can pray that. Coming to God and asking for Him just to completely change this. We wish it was completely different. Asking God for that. Would you work that total change? Turn again our captivity. And then there's a comparison here In verse 4, as the streams in the south. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. What does that mean? It seems that this is a reference to some of the dry stream beds that existed in Israel, in the southern part of Israel. And those stream beds were usually completely dry. But when there would be a rain up in the mountains, those stream beds could fill up just very quickly. And even some people that have been there to that part of Israel in the Holy Land have witnessed this, where even just an inch of rain there in the mountains can cause those stream beds to fill up and just flood with water. That water coming down out of the mountains very suddenly. And you could think of a flash flood. Think of a flash flood, and where a certain area may be prone to flooding very quickly, and the water just fills up. And I think that's the idea here, as the psalmist is praying, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And he knows what goes on with these stream beds in the south, where very suddenly they can flood and fill up, and there's all this water in the stream beds. And he's seen it happen. And I think the idea is he's coming to God and praying for that total change. And he's praying for a flash flood of God's blessing. Lord, just completely and quickly change the situation like you do with the streams in the south, a flash flood. And the Lord is able to do that in any situation. God can completely and suddenly change the situation for His people. He's able to do that. And so we need to try to pray for that, I believe. The solution to our problems always involves prayer. It always does. And we need to see the confidence that the psalmist has as he prays. Yes, remembering what God has done and the joyful experiences of God's blessing here. And even in his situation, he's in a period where he wishes things were different. He comes and just asks God for that total change. Ask God for a flash flood of his blessing. So we're going to spend some time in prayer and ask God for his working. There are two more verses here, and maybe we can think about what those mean. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But those are verses that are also connected to our happiness in the Lord. And we'll give some attention to those maybe next week. But right now, want us to focus on prayer and asking God for His working in our situations. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You and we recognize the things You've done in the past. Think of the great joy that You gave to Your people when You brought them out of captivity after those 70 years. And Lord, You've oftentimes filled us with joy and gladness, whether through something You've allowed into our lives or through Your Word and Your presence. And we ask that we would experience that again. And we pray, Lord, that You would work in our church, in our individual lives. We pray that You would bring a total change in some areas with some people. And we look to You to do that. We know the solution is not in ourselves or in some material thing that we could bring in, but it's in You and in what You can do. And so increase our confidence and our faith in that here this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, want to look at our prayer request. There is another prayer sheet here this morning. It says March 8th. And So if you don't have one of those, they are available in the foyer and in the table over here. But just start off with a couple things. Had a praise here from Orwell Bible Church. They have been trying to get a building for some time, and the Lord provided their funds. I sent that email report out to some of you, but that was just a praise to see the money came in for them, and the Lord provided for them. So they purchased a building they're going to have to do some work on, but at least it will be their own, and they can get into their own place. They've been meeting in a community center for many years. Crystal Smith has asked us to pray for her uncle. Last week, she asked us that, and his name's Vernon Lee. He had a stroke, and she said that now he's on hospice care, not expected to live too long, and they weren't able to do any operation on him. So pray for him, and he is a believer, so she was thankful for that. Pray for his wife. Her name's Darlene. They live down in Kentucky. And then we had a report about Stephanie Murfield's mother, Bonnie. Apparently she was in an accident last night and totaled her car. That was all the details that she had at that point. So pray for Bonnie Murfield as she was in this car accident last night. And all right, any other praises or prayer requests this morning? Yes, Sue. Okay, so the husband of someone that Sue works with, Lori Vance is her name. Her husband had a heart attack and surgery, and he's in serious condition right now. All right, anybody else? Yes, Shirley.
My sister Dolores is out of the hospital into a care center. She's doing really well, but she has trouble with her moving.
Okay, Shirley's sister, Dolores, she had a stroke, and she's out of the hospital, so continue to pray for her with her recovery from that. Okay, anyone else this morning? Yes, Mr. Renaud. Okay, unspoken for Bob. Okay, anybody else? Praises, prayer requests? Yes, Sue?
My nephew, Brian, he's still praying.
Okay.
He, of course, he's not back to work yet, but he was saved when he was a young kid, but and hadn't been blessed, but now he's starting to think of it. So he has it good Lord and Savior.
Okay. Sue's nephew, Brian Pierce, he had the brain aneurysm that they found, and he's doing better. So praise for that, and pray for him spiritually as well. He is saved, but pray for his growth. Okay, anybody else? Anyone else this morning? Just note some of the things on the sheet here. I guess I said some of these things already. But pray for Mr. Renard with his back. Still have that appointment coming up. Is there an update on Granger?
He went to dentist on Monday. They did have to pull in a front tooth, a baby tooth. So, it looks like he's going to do okay. Just had to prematurely take that tooth.
Okay, so he did have to lose a tooth from this fall that he had. And Pray for Rhonda's friend Dottie with arthritis issues. Of course, pray for our country with these bills that are being discussed with the H.R. 1 Voting Act and the Equality Act. There's some projects going on at Panal Bible Camp and a storage addition on the back of Ashbrook Hall and a new entryway in the front. There may be a work crew coming next month led by Mark Goldfuss. And so just pray for that possibility. Of course, his mother is one that we pray for who's in failing health. So is there any update on her? You know, okay. And, of course, we pray for Mr. Owen with his hip issues. And so just mention those things. Okay, anything else? Any other praises or prayer requests? Yes, Mr.
Owen. I think we do have a praise. We did get our dispensers in.
All right, yes, we finally got some dispensers for the hand sanitizer. Yeah, the touch-free dispensers. We ordered them back in the summer, but I guess they were so backed up that finally got them in. So they're not up yet. But. All right, anyone else? Okay, well, let's go ahead.